Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Luke chapter 2. Yesterday we worked through the first 20 verses of this great chapter because it's the one place in the Bible that records the actual birth record of Jesus Christ. And as we saw, the ones that were blessed and privileged to be there, of course, first and foremost, were Mary and Joseph, Jesus Christ's parents, and then a few shepherds. And the shepherds were wonderful believers that when God spoke to them, they believed it. They acted on God's word, and they made haste to get to the manger, and they got to see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then they went witnessing, and they went and told a bunch of people, and those people didn't necessarily believe. They just sort of wondered. And same is true today, that when people hear God's word, a lot of people just sort of wonder, well, I wonder if there is a God. I wonder if there's anything to this Bible thing. And then there's some people, it's like getting a drink of water in a middle of a desert. It's just so refreshing to hear truth and light that they respond, that they believe. The record in Luke chapter 2 continues with further examples of people who were believers at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." At 8 days was the time prescribed first to Abraham and then to written down in the law of Moses was the time for males to be circumcised. So Jesus Christ was circumcised on the 8th day by his parents, and he was named Jesus according to the name that God had given him by the agency of an angel. And when the days of her, Mary's, purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, this would have been a period of 40 days. So once those were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So on this 41st day of young baby Jesus' life, Mary and Joseph brought him and presented him to in the temple of Jerusalem, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and of 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This man, Simeon, was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was anticipating the coming of the Messiah, and he had the Holy Spirit upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he got revelation that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a revelation for a man to receive, that Christ, the Messiah, was going to come in his lifetime. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Again, look at the revelation given to this man, Simeon. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes hath seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the people Israel." What a record! Look at God blessing this faithful man, Simeon, this one who had lived in light of the hope that Christ would come. Well, here the hope is fulfilled. He gets to hold the baby in his arms, and then he speaks wonderful words by the Spirit of God. Man, think of how this must have blessed this old man before he died. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Again, a man who had the Spirit of God upon him, speaking by revelation. And then it says, verse 36, And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Now, 7 years from the time of her virginity, I don't know what time she would have been married, but let's say a common age might have been, say, 16. So she lived with a husband 7 years, so that'd take her to 23. And she was a widow of 84 years. She'd been a widow for 84 years. So just ballpark figure, she's about 107. She was of great age, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You know, I love this. What was this wonderful woman named Anna involved with at the ripe old age of 107? Serving God. How did she do it? She served God in fastings and prayers night and day. You know, as you get older, you might not be as mobile. You might lack, strength and energy in certain categories of life, that maybe younger people might have. But she certainly didn't lack zeal for God. She certainly didn't lack commitment and faithfulness to God. She's 107 years old, and what's she spending her days doing? Praying, fasting, serving God. I get great encouragement by reading this record. And then it says, And she came in, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. What a wonderful record of Mary and Joseph, first of all, faithfully carrying out the law of Moses, on the 41st day, going to the temple of Jerusalem, offering the requisite sacrifices. But here, while they're in the temple, God bringing these two wonderful believers, Simeon and Anna, and blessing them by them getting to see this baby who's born the Christ, getting to see baby Jesus at such a young age. What this record in Luke chapter 2 indicates is a few people, starting with the shepherds, and now Simeon and Anna, who were living in light of the hope that God had given believers throughout the Old Testament that Christ would come. And these are the ones that were blessed to get to see the baby Jesus. Now let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, we're going to pick up the record of the visit of the Magi. And to get this chronologically straight, let's remember that Jesus was conceived in December of 4 BC. Mary and went to be with Elizabeth and Zacharias for 3 months in the hill country. Then she returned in March of 3 BC to go through the wedding ceremony with Joseph. They then consummated their marriage. And during that year honeymoon, they were asked, they were required to go to the city of their lineage, which in this instance was Bethlehem of Judah. And when they went to Bethlehem, that was the time that Jesus Christ was born. And this was in September of 3 BC. And we'll see more about that in our concluding session. So in September of 3 BC, Jesus Christ was born. The record that we just read would have been in October of 3 BC. And what we're going to read now skips ahead all the way to December of 2 BC. So you have the conception of Jesus Christ in December of 4 BC, his birth in September of 3 BC, and then this, the visit of the Magi, in December of 2 BC. So I guess surrounding the birth record of Jesus Christ, even though he wasn't born in December, there were two significant events that do occur in December. I guess if we want to celebrate something this month, we could celebrate his conception. We could celebrate the visit of the Magi. Really what we're doing is we're working God's word to understand accurately what occurred. And we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ every day of our lives. As we open this class, every time we date a letter or write a check, we're celebrating the coming of Jesus Christ. But now in Matthew chapter 2 is the record of the Magi. It says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah," this would better be translated, "Now Jesus having been born in Bethlehem of Judah." The way this is translated would indicate that this is right at the time of his birth, as we'll see. It's not. But now, Jesus having been born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Does verse 1 specify how many wise men there were? No, it doesn't say that there were three wise men. Actually, the word wise men here, the words are the one word, magi. There came magi from the east to Jerusalem. Verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Now, good question. Who in the heck are these magi? Where did they come from? Very evidently, they recognized the birth of the king of the Jews. This is what had brought them to Jerusalem. And specifically, it was information concerning his star. Now, what had occurred, and this goes back to even before Jesus Christ's birth, but during a year-long period of time, there were six astronomical occurrences that these magi witnessed in the heavens. And they all pertained to his star. Now, when the Bible uses the word star, this also includes any heavenly body. In other words, it includes the planets. Any heavenly body, except, of course, the sun and the moon. What they saw over the period of a year was a number of conjunctions. And this started back in August of 3 BC and extended for a year-long period all the way to August of 2 BC. And during this year, at six different times, there was the conjunction of the planet Jupiter and the star Regulus in the constellation Judah. Judah, of course, but Leo. And Leo is the lion. If you know anything about astronomy, the zodiac is divided into 12 parts. One of them is Leo the lion, and Leo the lion represents Judah. So in the constellation representing Judah, six times in a year period, there was a conjunction of Jupiter and Regulus. And both Jupiter and Regulus represented astronomically the king. So what had they seen? They had seen six different times the conjunction of the king's planet, the king's star, in the constellation that represented Judah. So what did they think? The king of the Jews. And at the sixth time, and we'll see more about this in our concluding segment, but in the sixth time, there was an amassing of the planets, an amassing of stars in Judah, so much so that these magi packed their bags, they loaded up their camels, they organized a caravan, and they headed from Babylon to come to Jerusalem. Now, why would they come to Jerusalem? Well, Jerusalem is where the temple is. Jerusalem is the main city of Judah, of Israel. It's kind of like if you were going to seek information about Mormonism, where do you think you might go? Would you go to Salt Lake City? You know, it's the main place for Mormons. Well, you know, where did they go? They went to Jerusalem. And this caravan arrives into the city of Jerusalem, and these magi ask the question, where is he that's born king of the Judeans? For we have seen his star repeatedly in the east. Six different times they saw this conjunction. It so grabbed their attention that they packed their bags, they get a caravan, and head to Jerusalem. Now, these magi were part of a group, you could call it a religion, that had developed in Babylon, and you know, then Babylon was became Persia. But in that part of the world, it was a religion that was greatly influenced by the children of Israel that were brought there in captivity. Look at Daniel chapter 5, please. Remember that the children of Israel were taken captive out of the land of Israel into Babylon. And the book of Daniel is specifically significant because it describes the ascendancy of some of these Judeans to great positions of authority in the country of Babylon, and then later in the country of Persia after the Persians come in and conquer Babylon. But here, in a description of Daniel, look at Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. It says, there is a man in thy kingdom. This is being spoken to King Belshazzar, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpretation of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Look at this. It says, Daniel is made master, the end of verse 11, of the magicians. You know who the magicians are? The magi. So part of Daniel's responsibility in this kingdom was that he was in charge of the magi. Now, the magi historically had beliefs, and this was preserved very evidently up till the time of the coming of Christ amongst some of them. They had beliefs that were very similar, very much the same in certain categories, to what was taught in the Old Testament. They believed in one true God, and they forbade the worship of idols in light of there being one true God. They also believed in a devil. They believed in good and evil spirits. And they knew and were instructed in the witness of the stars. Remember, before the Bible was ever written down, starting with Moses, God had the plan of redemption written in the stars. And this is understandable by the true science of astronomy. It's been perverted, it's been, you know, made devilish by modern astrology, but these people weren't astrologers, they were astronomers. And quite evidently, they had preserved this knowledge among some of these magi all the way up till the time of the birth of Christ. They were anticipating the coming of Christ. They knew from the witness of the stars, they knew from what the children of Israel had taught them when they were in captivity, that there was a coming one, that there was a coming Messiah. And so these magi, they see these six incredible astronomical events spanning a whole year, and they pack up their caravan, they arrive in Jerusalem, and they say, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east." Let's go back to Matthew chapter 2. What an incredible record, huh? I would imagine that this caused quite a buzz in the city of Jerusalem. You know, there's no other record indicating that anybody in Israel had observed these astronomical occurrences. It would have been available for other people to have seen these, but the ones that noticed them were these magi. Now, in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was blessed, right? Oh, he said, "Man, this is great, the Messiah's come." No. He was what? Troubled. Now, why do you think Herod might have been troubled? Because it says here, he was the king. These guys are coming in and saying, "Where is the King of the Jews?" Herod said, "It's me." No, he's troubled when they're talking about another King of the Jews. And all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Hey, you know, this is pretty simple to understand. If the king gets troubled, everybody else gets troubled with him. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. You know, he wanted to know. His caravan had come into his city. They said, "Where is he that's born King of the Jews?" So he gets together, the learned men, demands of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it was written by the prophet," and we know, written by the prophet Micah, "And thou, Bethlehem, a land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So they consult the scripture. They tell Herod that this king of the Jews, this Christ, this promised one, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem of Judah. Then Herod, when he had privily or secretly called the wise men, he called the magi, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now remember, this star had appeared from August of 4 BC to August of 3 BC. Jesus Christ is born in September of 3 BC. It says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. You know, Herod wants to find this young child. Does he want to come and worship him? Well, we'll see. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, Bethlehem is about 5 miles from Jerusalem. It's just south of Jerusalem. So when they start heading south towards Bethlehem, over the city of Bethlehem, once again, is this conjunction. It's not like a star that's forms a halo over the child, but it's over the town of Bethlehem. So once again, godly indication to these guys of their search, of them being rewarded for this pilgrimage, coming and seeking Christ. And it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the manger, does it say they came into the manger? No. This is 16 months after the birth of Jesus Christ. At this point in time, Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem, and they're living in a what? House. Now, what caused them to return to Bethlehem? I don't know. Whether they were ostracized in Nazareth of Galilee, that certainly is very possible. They thought that the baby Jesus had been born out of wedlock. People could count then. It was only 6 months after the wedding ceremony. So anyway, they're back in Bethlehem, and they have a house. And when they were come into the house, they saw the baby? No. It says they saw the what? Young child with Mary, his mother. You know, the young child, he's 16 months old. You know, he's maybe like, you know, standing up at the coffee table. You know, he's 16 months, I think, if I remember right. That's about the time you can, you know, maybe take your first step or, you know, crawling around. He's a young child, 16 months old. So when they saw the young child, Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And these are gifts that would have traditionally, in their culture, been given to royalty. Remember who they come to visit? The king of the Judeans. These also, as it's described in this verse, are treasures. In other words, they're very valuable. You know, we might not be familiar with the frankincense and myrrh side of this, but we're still today very familiar with the value of gold. These are treasures. These are very valuable gifts, which will come into play here shortly in the life of Jesus Christ with his parents, Mary and Joseph. So they brought treasures. They brought wealth as gifts to this young child. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By the way, this is where people get that there were three wise men, because they think since there's three gifts that there must have been three wise men. Well, it's not what the Bible says. They're not at the manger scene. They're in a house in Bethlehem. So they present these treasures to Mary and to the young child. And being warned, verse 12, of God in a dream, that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Look at God, how God is working. You know, Herod had said, come back, you know, let me know where this young child is, so that I might too come down and worship him. Well, they are warned by God. They get revelation. Don't go back to Herod. So they depart to their country another route. They don't go back through Jerusalem. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What is that? That's word of knowledge, word of wisdom. The word of knowledge is Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Very valuable knowledge. And the word of wisdom is arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there till I bring thee word. You know, get out of Bethlehem. Get out of Judah. Go into Egypt. Leave the country, Joseph and Mary, because Herod is going to try to kill your child. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Don't you just love these records of believing? Of people getting the needed information from God and then acting upon it? You know, if you don't have the information, then you seek it. But once you get it, you do it. It's that simple. Sometimes people get information from God and then never act upon it. Could you imagine how disastrous that would have been, you know, if the Magi had returned to Herod? Or how about if Mary and Joseph didn't flee with the young child Jesus? But praise God, they believed. And then it says in verse 15, and was there, they were in Egypt, until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He was PO'd. Man, he was just fuming. He was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Hey, the star had started to appear in August of 3 BC. Here we're in December of 2 BC. So he figures, okay, well, just to cover this, I'm going to have slain every child who's two and under. Could you imagine how terrible a time that would have been? You know, all because of this jealous rage of King Herod. And then it says that it was fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Boy, it must have been just horrific, just terrible. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, where? In Egypt. Remember back in verse 13, God had said, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. Well, now God is bringing him word. Here's the word. The word is, verse 20, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Boy, look at the guidance. Look at the direction. Look at God's protection. Look at God's care and concern. Well, this is his son. You know, he's a father bearing his arm for his child. It says, and he, Joseph, arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room or in the stead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of where? Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. You know, it's very, very interesting that in this one chapter of the Bible, there are three prophetic references of the coming Christ that are fulfilled concerning location. The first one is what we're familiar with from Micah, that out of Bethlehem of Ephratah, Bethlehem of Judah, he would come that would be the ruler, the governor of Israel. Remember, that's, we read that in Micah earlier in this class, and then that's what was given in answer to Herod's inquiry about where the Messiah would be born in this chapter. And that's where the Magi found this young child, Jesus. That's where they came and presented these valuable gifts to Jesus and his family. But then also fulfilled in this same chapter is that which is spoken by the prophet, recorded in verse 15, that out of Egypt have I called my son. And now, at the end of this chapter, a third location that was prophesied, the fulfillment is shown, that he shall be called a Nazarene. You know, it would be very difficult for people prior to the time of the coming of Jesus Christ to put all three of these verses together and understand them. But yet in one chapter, look at the fulfillment of them. Did he come out of Bethlehem? He sure did. That's where he was born. That's where, at this time of the writing of this chapter, Mary and Joseph had a house. Did he come out of Egypt? Yeah, because that's where God had instructed Joseph to take his mother and this young child to flee from the murderous rage of Herod. And was he called a Nazarene? Yes, because after Herod had died, God gave the all-clear signal to Joseph that it was okay to come back to Israel, and they relocated to Nazareth of Galilee. You know, you can certainly see also God's provision, God's providing needed information and guidance for Joseph to handle his responsibilities as Jesus Christ's adoptive father, and also God's provision of prosperity, because they would have needed money for this travel to get from Bethlehem to Egypt, and then to stay in Egypt, and then get from Egypt to Nazareth of Galilee. Boy, what a great chapter. What a record. Look at how God is taking care of his only begotten son, how he's guiding and directing these believers. We've seen this morning that there were a handful of people on earth that were anticipating the coming of the Messiah. We saw the shepherds. We saw Simeon. We saw Anna, and we saw the Magi. And we also have seen the great believing of Joseph and of Mary to protect and to keep the Messiah alive. In our concluding session, we will look at some of the astronomical and scriptural references that specifically pinpoint the timing of Jesus Christ's birth.